This evening, if you will, in your Bible, Psalm 91. And we'd finished up last Wednesday evening a study through Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. What a great psalm that was, is, and what a great opportunity to be able to study through that psalm for several weeks and just be encouraged and strengthened. And I don't know what circumstance you have, what situation you're in, but I know that no matter what it is, in the Lord put I my trust. And we just trust the Lord. He is trustworthy. He'll never fail you, and we thank the Lord for that. Tonight, we're going to begin a brand new series on the names of God, and it is my prayer that this study will aid in our spiritual growth. We find that as we look throughout the Scriptures, and particularly in the Old Testament, that many times God has revealed to us various aspects about His nature, His characters, character traits, attributes, through the names that He gives to us, revealing to us who He is. And of course, as we transition even into the New Testament, begin to think about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. So we begin in the Old Testament, look at the names of God, and then transition, look at the names of Jesus. We're not going to do all of them, not going to be an exhaustive study on all of the names, but we will study a lot of them. And as we study them, I believe, again, that it will be an aid for our spiritual growth and help us to understand important aspect that God has revealed to us. As we begin the study, I have you here in Psalm 91 because I want to consider this passage of Scripture that is before us. I'm not going to go through it like we did in Psalm chapter 11 and take weeks to go through it. My plan is to get through it this evening and really use this message from Psalm 91 as the introductory message for this study on the names of God. The title for the message this evening, if you want to jot it down in your notes, is taken from verse 14. We'll read through all of the verses as we go through it this evening, but I want to draw your attention to verse 14. The Bible says, because He, now in verse 14, I'll explain this as we get into it, but the psalmist in verse 1 through 13 is really the one speaking about the Lord and about God's protection. But then in verses 14 through 16, God is speaking, and the Bible says this, because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Notice this phrase, because He hath known my name. Because He hath known my name. And so I titled the message this evening that phrase from verse number 14, because He hath known my name. And again, as I mentioned, the psalm, this is Psalm 91. If you have a Bible there that has some notes in it that sometimes will say who the human penman is, this is a psalm of David, and so on and so forth, you'll see in Psalm 91 that there's no inscription on the top of your Bible, most likely, depending on what study Bible you have. And most Bible scholars, however, believe that it would be ascribed to Moses, Psalm 90 and 91, both Psalms of Moses. We, of course, understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but it's very interesting, and we'll kind of circle back as we get to the end of the lesson this evening with understanding if it is that Moses, the human penman of this psalm, it makes a ton of sense. Just from a practical studying through the passage perspective, and of course, again, we rest in the fact that we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But in the first 13 verses, it's the psalmist that is speaking, and what is he speaking about? Well, he's speaking about the Lord. He's speaking about the protection that God gives. He's speaking about and really exalting the Lord. And then in verses 14 through 16, God is speaking. And in those verses, as God is speaking, we find that He provides five promises for the one, the individual, that is dwelling in the secret place. And so notice with me as we kind of just make our way through this psalm and then get to an application this evening. In verse number 1 of Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. And isn't that an awesome introduction to a psalm? I mean, you find that in verses 1 and 2, there are actually four names of God that are used in those two verses of Scripture. He is the Most High, He is Almighty, He is Lord or Jehovah, and He is God. four of the names that God gives to us in the Old Testament regarding himself, the names of God, four of them are used right here in these two verses of Scripture. We find that not only are those four words used in these two verses of Scripture, we find that he also is going to describe the protection and care of God, really beginning in verse number two. Notice he says, "He is my refuge." Now, not necessarily a name of God, but understanding what God provides for me, that he is my refuge. Notice, he is my fortress. In him will I trust. It's amazing as you consider the last study that we went through in Psalm 11, "In the Lord put I my trust," and we understand here that the psalmist is writing and he knows and he records for us four names of God in these first two verses, and he records for us how God is protecting and what God is doing and who God is to him. God is my refuge. God is my fortress. And we find that he continues, and notice how he describes in great detail what he expects for God to do for him based upon knowing who God is. See, the knowledge of who God is, knowing the names of the Lord, knowing God, led him to a place where he expected that God would act and work in a certain way. Why? Because God had already revealed that's who he is. Those are his attributes through those names. Notice what he says in verse number three. Surely, I mean, he had confidence. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, you see another name, it's the same one that was mentioned in verse number 2, Jehovah, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High. Notice what he says, thy habitation. My habitation. I want you to think about that just for a moment as he concludes verse number 9, and he says that you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, he is the Most High. Again, those two names were used in verses 1 and 2, and we see them repeated in verse number 9, and he says that you've made him thy habitation. I want you to think about that phrase just for a moment and consider with me, in the New Testament, we have that truth of abide in me. And here I believe that we have this Old Testament equivalent idea of making the Lord thy habitation. There's something about this word that reveals to us an extended period of time. I mean, being in the presence of and having that relationship with. It's not just a somewhere we visit and then leave and something that's very... No, he's your habitation. It's an amazing way of communicating to us the importance of abiding in the Lord. Notice in verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Aren't those amazing truths that God records for us? I mean, you begin to read these verses of Scripture, you begin to understand the confidence that the psalmist has in understanding what the Most High, Almighty, Jehovah God is able to do for his people. And it's exciting to know who God is. And to know God, you have to know his names. Because God reveals to us through his names various aspects of his nature and character. And we find that as we go through and over the next several months, as we study the names of God, and we begin to see how He's the God who heals, He's the God who provides, He's the God who is my shepherd, we go on and on and on, and we see that through these specific names that God has provided to us, He's revealing that particular aspect of His nature and what He does for His people. And it's so exciting to see through this psalm the expectation of the psalmist, because he begins by saying, "He that dwelleth," again, and you think about that word dwelleth and coupled with verse 9, "thy habitation," "he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." This evening, it's so encouraging to understand that God has revealed to us His name so that we would trust Him at all times. We find that here in verse 14, as I mentioned by way of introduction, that it transitions, the psalm does, in verses 1 through 13, the psalmist is speaking and he's exalting the Lord and he's speaking about the protection that God will provide. But in verses 14 through 16, God speaks, and it says, "Because He," that's the one that's referred to, that He that dwelleth in the secret place, He that's made the Lord His habitation, "because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him." Notice, "I will set him on high." Notice this phrase, I know I've called your attention to it already, "because He hath known my name." Because He hath known my name. Notice these promises in verse 15 and 16. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." How do we know to call upon God? How do we know that? I mean, you think about all that we know about God, it's because He's given us His Word. How do we know that God is able to do exceeding great things? How do we know, you think about Abraham and having the introduction that God says to him, "I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai," one of the names that we'll study. And you understand that for us this evening, that when we know His name, it causes us to pray in faith, knowing who He is. And it says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." Notice, "I will be with him in trouble." Aren't you thankful for the presence of God? The presence of God. He says, "I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." As we begin to consider this thought this evening and understanding that God has chosen to reveal Himself to us through His name, or His names, I should say, we find this evening that not only does He begin to and continue throughout the Scriptures to reveal Himself to us through His names, but He desires that His name be known among the nations. Notice what the Bible says over in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I want to just draw your attention to this verse of Scripture, and then we're going to run back to the Pentateuch and look at a couple of thoughts to make application this evening. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6, if you will, before we make our way back to the book of Exodus. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 6, in verse number 33, notice what the Bible says right in the middle of the prayer with the dedication of the temple and all that's going on. And in verse number 33, the Bible says, "Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name and fear thee, as doth thy people Israel, and may know that this house which I have built is called by thy name." I'm so thankful that God has given us a Bible where He records for us and has preserved for us His names. I'm so thankful that we're not in a place, not saying that America as a whole isn't there or partially, But I'm thankful that as I think about the passage where Paul is there and he goes to Athens and he sees a city that's wholly given to idolatry, and he finds there that there's an altar to the unknown God, and he says, "Him declare I unto you." You know what Paul was doing? He was making known the name of God to those people. This evening, as we begin to think about this truth of knowing the names of God and why is it that we're entering into the study, I want you to go back to Exodus chapter number 3. I want you to consider with me again as we try to make some application this evening, but also consider with me the thought that perhaps it is that the human penman to this Psalm 91 is none other than Moses. And we look in Exodus chapter number 3. And of course, you understand, if you perhaps have been familiar with the book of Exodus, that the people of God are in bondage, and God is aware of their cry, of all that they're dealing with, and God comes and he appears to Moses in that burning bush, that the bush burned with fire but was not consumed, and there's this dialogue, this conversation that God gives with regard to what God knew to be going on and what God intended to do with delivering his people. And we come to verse number 11, and I want to pick it up there. And it says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he," God said, "Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me," what does it say? "What is his name?" What is his name? Notice what Moses then says. "What shall I say unto them?" I want you to pause just for a moment this evening. I want you to consider the questions that are posed in verse number 13. Moses is already, of course, and it's going to just intensify with trying to get out of going and being the one. He starts in verse number 12, 11, "Who am I?" And the reality is that we are nobody, but we serve the Most High God, and we can rejoice in that. But we find that Moses is anticipating a question from the people, and the question that he brings before God that he anticipates being asked is, "What is his name?" But I want you to see the follow-up question that Moses then says to God, "What shall I say unto them?" I want you to think about it just for a moment. God is speaking to Moses. God has appeared to Moses. And Moses says, "They're going to ask me your name, and I don't know what to say." Think about it just for a moment. And God's going to give him an answer. In verse number 14, it's a very familiar verse of Scripture. God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Yahweh. Jehovah. Capital L-O-R-D in our King James Bibles. And here we find that God says to Moses, "I am that I am." If they ask you who it is that sent you, you tell them, "I am sent me unto you." You know what God was doing? God was teaching Moses something about his own character and nature. He was revealing to Moses aspect that was so important for Moses to understand. In verse 15, "And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." We'll study this name of God in some future message in more detail. But I want you to consider a couple of thoughts this evening All of that was kind of by way of introduction. If you are taking notes, number one specifically is the importance in knowing God's names. What is the importance for us? Why do we have a study? Why is it that we're going to spend months on Wednesday evening studying the names of God? Well, I'm going to start by answering it this way. Evidently, God thought it was important because He gave us a whole lot of them. And if God revealed Himself to His people through names, and He appears and speaks to individuals, and He gives His name to them with regard to the specific situation that they're in. Listen, when God revealed Himself to Abraham before Isaac was born, He revealed Himself as El Shaddai, the Almighty God. But after they go up there to slay Isaac, He reveals Himself to Abraham as Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He didn't continuously say to Abraham, I am the Almighty God, although He is. He reveals another name to Abraham in that circumstance, in that situation, so that Abraham would understand another aspect of the nature and character of God. And that's pretty amazing to me. See, our God is supreme. And our God, listen, He transcends us. We could never fully comprehend who God is. There's not one name that encompasses all that He is. And that's why He's given us countless names so that we could understand these various aspects and attributes. And so why is it important? Well, I would say, first of all, God thought it was important, and that's why He's revealed them to us. We then must recognize the importance of knowing the names of God. And we must put forth the effort to dig into the Word of God and to learn His names. I think about the example when the Lord Jesus Christ was answering the question of the disciple that said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, how do you begin? Hallowed be Thy name. How do they know it's a holy name? What do they know about the name of God? They had, many of them, of course, had portions of the Old Testament. They'd been instructed. They were Jewish people that had been taught, that had had some knowledge and information. This evening, there's something about a name. See, for some of us this evening, we've grown up in this Western civilization where we choose names based on the cuteness of the name. We like it, sounds good, it works well with this, so on and so forth, and I like these abbreviations and so on and so forth. And, you know, my in-laws, they had three daughters, and they all had, before they got married, they all had the same initials. It's Heather Jewel and Holly Jan and Heidi Joy, and they had that all set up, right? And it's just kind of, why did we pick Juliana? We like the name. There was nothing significant about it at all. We just liked it. Do you know someone? No, I didn't know anybody. In fact, sometimes if you offer a name and you knew somebody that had that name, you say, yeah, I'm not naming my kid that name because I know that person that had it. You understand, right? But you understand that in a lot of cultures, names are significant. I mean, highly significant. I remember the first time we had the privilege of sitting in Brother Tony's home with Jike and Osaki Ademe, and I remember him sharing with me the significance of the name Osaki Ademe. And I remember talking and learning and understanding, and it's fascinating to me. Why? Because we don't really have that in our culture. But you know, in the biblical culture, names are significant. They mean something. They have deep meaning. And so this evening we understand and we must come to that place where we recognize the importance in knowing God's names. But then I'll say this, we have to acknowledge also the impact of knowing God's names. With each name that God gives us in the Scriptures, we find, as I've mentioned already, that there's some attribute that is revealed to us of God's nature, His character, and it's being revealed to us. And knowing His names will impact how you live your life. Knowing His names will impact what you believe to be true. How you chart the day that's ahead of you because you know His name. How you pray. You know, you can pray back the names of God that He's revealed to us in His Word. God, You said that You were Jehovah Jireh, that You would provide. And God, we're trusting You in that capacity. You said, it's just understanding the impact that it has on us when we know His name. Look at Psalm 9, if you will. And I want you to understand, we've referenced this when we looked at Psalm 11, but look at Psalm 9 just for a moment. You know, there are some names that you can understand that have some great significance, and maybe people would throw around a name of, well, I know so-and-so, and they name some person, and man, there's supposed to be some level of impact on you because they know this person. We know the Most High God. And He's given to us these names that we would know Him. And by the way, most people, when they say, I know so-and-so, they probably just know of them, about them, really know them. But you know what's awesome about God? We can know Him in an intimate way. Moses says, and then Paul says in the New Testament, as Paul says it, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And we look at that in Philippians 3 and understand that we can, God wants us to know Him. And it's impactful when we do. Psalm 9 and verse number 10. Notice what it says. And they that know, what's it say in your Bible? Thy name. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Is that not a powerful verse of Scripture? Listen, if we know, God gave us His Word that we would know Him. God revealed all of His names to us and recorded them. Listen, how did Abraham find out the names of God? Well, God spoke them to him. How did Moses find out the names of God? Well, God spoke them when Moses stood there and said, hey, they're going to say, who sent me? I need to know your name. And God says, I am. God's not speaking to any of us this evening audibly to tell us His names, but He's given us a preserved, perfect book, and He's recorded for us all of these names throughout all of this history so that we would benefit, so that we would have our lives impacted because we can know His name. We can know His name. And it says that they that know Thy name, notice, will put their trust in Thee. It doesn't say they might, because if we truly know who He is, we're absolutely going to trust Him. And that's why David said in Psalm 11, as we studied for so many weeks, in the Lord put I my trust. Why? Because David knew God. David wasn't perfect. We can talk about the sin of David, and we understand he wasn't perfect, but David was a man after God's own heart, according to what the Scriptures tell us. And David was a man that knew God intimately. And he says, in the Lord put I my trust. Why? Because he knew the name of God. I'll finish with this verse in Psalm 148. We talk about the impact of knowing God's names. Listen, this evening, when we truly know who He is, when we know His names, we know Him in that intimate way, we're going to trust Him. In Psalm 148 and verse 13, the Bible says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. And I hope this evening that you already know some of the names of God. But I hope that over the next several months, as we study through these names of God, that we will grow spiritually, that we will learn various aspects of who our God is to us personally and what He's able to do for us, and that it would strengthen our faith and that it would cause us to trust Him as we should. Here in Psalm 91, where we started this evening, it says, "Because He hath known my name." Because He hath known my name. It's my desire that we would know the name of the Lord, and I'll make it plural, the names of the Lord, because there's so many of them. Let's pray together. Father, we do love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your word tonight and the truth that's revealed. And I pray, God, that You'd help us to know Your names. Lord, that we would be excited about this study. I'm excited about what You have in store for us. God, I pray that You'd strengthen us, that You'd help us to grow spiritually, that You'd help us to trust You more because we know Your name. Thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You that You hear and answer. We pray that You'd work, move as only You can, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.